Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Empty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Begin reading now.
By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about great trials that bring forth great triumphs. Great trials that bring forth great triumphs. And my brothers and sisters, though Abraham is the subject of our thought today, I don't want you to mistake the reality of the fact that every one of us in this life as children of the Most High God will actually experience great trials. But I want to share with you that there are ways to handle the trials that the Lord gives to each and every one of you. One thing I want you to know off the top is the fact that God will never put more on you than you can bear. If you're going through the worst times of your life, what you need to remember is that God will never put more on me than I can bear or handle or deal with. He knows my strengths. He knows my weaknesses. He knows what I am able to deal with on the most highest and lowest levels of my existence. And knowing this, I should have the confidence that God has got this thing fixed.
Come on,
now, one of the things I want you to know is this story, of course, comes from Genesis chapter 22. And in your devotional time, you go back and read this 22nd chapter. And because time won't permit me to go through all of the verses of the 22nd chapter, Most of you who are Sunday school attendees certainly know this story about Abraham and Isaac being tried. And so Hebrews picks this up in the 11th chapter in the 17th verse. And that's where we'll begin, because it says, by what? By faith. Now, we all know that Hebrews 11th chapter is considered to be the faith chapter. It's considered to be the hall of faith. It is considered to be that chapter where some of God's greatest people have been tried in their greatest times. And yet there are in this chapter some of God's most ordinary people who have done extraordinary things, and all of them have done it by faith. That's why in the 11th chapter, it's repeated by faith, through faith, through faith. Why? Because faith is the foundational necessity for everything a child of God must understand. His challenges will come through his or her faith. God will never allow you to be tested above your faith level. That's why you don't have to have to worry about why one brother or one sister goes through something and you look at them and say, Lord, I can't handle that. He say, I know. That's why I wouldn't let you go through that, because he knows you would fail. But remember this, whatever you go through, no matter how difficult it is because God, like he did in the book of Job chapter 1, is bragging on you. And he's bragging on you to the enemy, to Satan, to Stufa, to Lucifer, who has told him about you. And you have said, God, have you considered my servant? So, yeah, I know I've seen him at work, and I've seen her at work, and I've seen this, that. But is there any reason why they praise you, worship you, and they love you? Look at what you've done for them. And yet he gives you a trial. Not God himself, but he allows Satan to test you and tempt you. But here, in this particular instance, God is trying Abraham. One of the other versions say, and God did tempt Abraham. And we know the word tempt means tried. It doesn't mean like temptation, because God doesn't tempt us with evil or with anything unrighteous. So it meant trial. So God tried Abraham. Now, one of the things I want you to recognize is the story unfolds where God has told Abraham that he wants him to sacrifice Isaac on this mountain, Mount Moriah. And he wants him to sacrifice him unto him. Now, Ishmael, and some say Ishmael, but Ishmael was Abraham's first son. And he wanted God to make Ishmael the son of promise when Ishmael was the son of permission. He was not the son of promise. God permitted Abraham and Sarah in their weakest moment of faith, not trusting and believing God that he would honor the promise to give them a son. They thought, listen, we were already old when we started. Abraham was 75, Sarah was 65, when they left his father's country in Haran and left looking for that city that God promised them, the promised city and the promised land and all of these wonderful things that God had made him a promise of in the 12th chapter, and we'll revisit that in a moment. But here is the point. Abraham was now Well, of course, it was 25 years before Isaac got here. But 14 or so years after that, after the 75th year he left there, 14 years later, they decided, Sarah, to give Abraham Hagar, her maid, for Hagar to be the Sarah Hagar, her maid. And when she gave Abraham permission to go into Sarah, to Hagar, and Ishmael was born, Hagar started acting funny with her. And so Sarah said, listen, she done got beside herself. You put her and her child out my house. Abraham didn't want to do it, but the Lord said, if she said do it, do it. And she did it. He did, and she left and went. So forth. Well, you know, Abraham is, he loves Ishmael. That's his real firstborn child. But he was not the firstborn son of promise. He was the firstborn son of permission. And how many of you know God has a perfect will and he has a permissive will? And in his permissive will, he'll let you do some things that's not a part of his perfect will. But you need to know that if he allows you to do that, he's not going to allow you to control the consequences. He has a perfect will for your life, and if we follow it, God's going to do what he promised he was going to do. Now, here is the interesting thing about it. Even though Ishmael was born to Hagar by Abraham, Sarah's husband, the promise was made to Abraham and to Sarah. But now, later, God still gives them the promise he made to them. And that was the birth of Isaac. Now, I'm trying to get you to, for those of you who don't know the story, who are not Sunday school attendees, you might not know this story. So I want you to understand, now God is telling Abraham, after he has told him to, to obey Sarah when she told him to put Ishmael out and so forth. And that happens a couple times. But here, now God is saying, I want you to take Isaac, your only son, Isaac. That's the son of promise, not the son of permission. And I want you to sacrifice to him, to me. Now, Abraham is thinking, Lord God, what is Sarah gonna think now? I done put Ishmael out, and now God, I go back and tell her, God told me to sacrifice Isaac on the mountain, on the altar. What do you mean by that? Kill him. Kill him. Is you done lost your mind? You gonna kill the son of promise? No. I'm just telling you what God told me to do. He told me to take Isaac to the mountain and sacrifice him there. But now, here comes the faith of Abraham. He takes two young men, donkey, etc., and they head toward the mountaintop. And almost before he gets there, 3 days from there, he looks up and he has a vision. And on that mountain, he sees something that inspires his soul. Because how many of you know, right in the middle of your worst test, God knows how to show you that it ain't as bad as it looks. That there is a light at the end of the tunnel. That God's got something bigger and better than you could ever imagine. And so he tells the two young men, wait here, while me and the lad go up yonder and worship, and we, me and him, will come down again unto you. Now listen at what he's speaking. He's speaking words of what? Faith. Words of faith. God has told him to sacrifice Isaac on the mountain, but he just tell the two young men. Why tell the two young men? Because in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. God said, I want you to tell them, by faith what you are speaking. And he speaks this because he's got witnesses. What would happen if he had come down off the mountain without Isaac? What would his word be to those young men when he told them, we're coming back down, we're going up to worship, and we're coming back down together?
Amen.
On the way up there, Isaac says, my father, and he says, here am I, my son. He says, I see the wood. I see the fire. He knew Abraham had a knife almost on his side to cut the sacrifice. And he saw the rope. Now, one of the things that a deeper study will show you, there are historians that say that Isaac was about 14 years old. But then there are others that say that he was more between 19 and could have been as much as 30 years old when this happened. Now, whether he was 14 or he was 30, look at how old Abraham would have been. If he was 14, that meant Abraham was 114. If he was 19, that meant Abraham was 119. And if he was 30, that meant he would have been 130. But here's the point I'm making. No little boy could carry up a mountain enough wood to make a sacrifice for an altar. So he had to be closer to that 19 and 30 years, somewhere in between there, when he went up on the mountain. Here's the other point. He could have overpowered his father. Because he asked his father, Father, I see all of these things, but where is the sacrifice?
Yes, yes.
Where? Every time Abraham had previously brought Isaac to witness a sacrifice to God on the altar, when they went up with everything they needed, including the sacrifice. But this time, they're going up to the mountain, and Isaac does not see the sacrifice. And his father says something prophetic and powerful. My son, the Lord will provide himself, listen at this, a lamb. Now, Abraham did not realize how prophetic that statement was himself. He just knew that his faith was of such a nature that however God was going to work it, God was going to allow him to bring Isaac back down, and he wasn't coming back down off that mountain until God had fixed it for Isaac. As a matter of fact, the word goes on to say, and let me just jump there right quick and just show you, at the end, accounting, or the word means reckoning. It's an accounting term, which means he figured out something. Again, accounting that God was able, listen, to raise him up from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And I'll come back and deal with that. But here's the thought, what Abraham was saying. He was saying, listen, in his own mind, if I take you up there and slay you on the altar, the God I serve, after I get through slaying you for the glory of God, somehow, some way, God's going to put life back into you, and we're going to walk on down this mountain. Now, that's faith, is it not?
Yes, sir.
He has enough faith in God to believe that even though he does not have a sacrifice to God, when Isaac didn't know that he was the prescribed sacrifice, that God would fix it anyhow. And so he goes up on the mountain, And there they put the wood down and they build the altar and they set all the wood around and they start the fire. And he puts altar, he takes the rope and binds Isaac up. And then he puts him on the altar. And then he takes the knife and he's getting ready to bring it down and take Isaac's life as a sacrifice to God. And God speaks from heaven. Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. In other words, don't do it. He tells him, now that I know what's in your heart. God already knew what was in his heart, but what the message was now I'm showing you so you can see that what you have prepared to do honors me greatly. And therefore, because I know you were going to do it, and you knew you were going to do it, you don't have to do it. Listen at this now. Listen at this. He's already prepared. He's already seated in his mind. He already knows what the outcome is going to be. However, he does not know how God's going to fix it in the end, how Isaac is going to go back down the mountain with him. All he knows is he's going to do it. But this was so much bigger than Abraham, and he did not realize it. Well, now that he says, stay your hand, again, I've shared this word before with you, but I want to refresh you. There is a ram stuck in the thicket, in the bush, or as we say, in the bushes. A ram with those big horns stuck in the bush, trying to get himself free. How did the ram get there? Well, I suggest to you, he wasn't there when they went up the mountain. He wasn't there. It was obvious. And if he were, he was there just looking. And then when he didn't see Abraham stab Isaac in the heart, he said, I best to get out of here because this don't look right. And he kept trying to, wait a minute. He trying to shake himself to get out of the bush. And what did that do? That sounded the alarm. Abraham looked back and said, Isaac, come on, let's get down over here and let's go get this ram, bro. Now, Isaac gets off the altar and he and Abraham go and take the ram, put him on the altar and sacrifice him up to God. But that was because the ram took the place of Isaac. See, in other words, when you make a promise to sacrifice something to God, something has got to be sacrificed. And God requires blood in those blood sacrifices then that they were doing. And so he did not get the blood of Isaac, but he still needed blood. Because the life was in the what? In the blood. And so God needed the blood sacrificed by an animal in the place of Isaac. So he allowed the ram to be the sacrifice that saved Isaac's life. But the prophecy was, God shall provide himself a lamb, not a ram. The ram was for Isaac, but the lamb is for us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now let me just close this message right quick with 3 points that I hope you'll get. All of it starts with faith and faithfulness. I want you to see the faithfulness of the father and son team. The faithfulness of the father and son team. Abraham and Isaac were a team. They were a faithful team. Abraham had trained up Isaac in the way that he should go, so that when he got older, he didn't depart from that. And so he understood that whatever leading his father gave him, he would follow it. And so much so, even to what would appear to have been his death. But the rest of verse 17 says, not only does it say, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, but he who had received the promises offered up his what? Only begotten son. It almost appears as if they're talking about two different persons. But they're talking about the same person. But what the Bible does in a poetic sense is it goes back and it puts it back in the order that helps us to see that God never forgets his promises to you.
All right, Doc.
But he who had received the promises, received the promise. That mean he's holding God to what he said.
All right.
Now, what did God say? If you go back to the 12th chapter, that just begins the first seven promises. There are many promises he made, but these are the first ones that we need to understand he's talking about. First thing God tells him is, I will make of thee a great nation. How is God going to make of him a great nation without an offspring? And the offspring that God promised. See, remember, Ishmael was not the son of promise. He was the son of what? Permission. So Ishmael was not the son worthy of being the offspring that God had promised Abraham and Sarah. So Ishmael is not a part of this, but Isaac is.
All right.
So I'm going to make thee of thee a great nation. One, two, I'm going to make thy name great.
All right, doctor.
Great, great, great. Why is God going to make his name great instead of God's name great? Because God knows that in making Abraham's name great, Abraham is going to make God's name great among the people. Going to publish it among the enemies as well as the friends of God. See, if God knows he can trust you with promotion, trust you with blessings, trust you with increase, trust you with favor, trust you with the things that he can only trust those who are going to do the right thing and give him the glory. Listen, all the goods belong to God, but the glory belongs to him. And if you got sense enough, when you get glory, to transfer it up to God, God will keep on causing your name to become great.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
K- KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.